This week's parsha is Yisro, and there's a lot to talk about in the parsha. What I like to focus on this evening is a little bit of the conversation between Moshe and Yisro, and specifically what it is and what it was that that Moshe did all day long, right? The Torah begins with Yisro coming and joining Moshe in the desert and bringing Tzipora and the children, and after all the greetings and the gratitude celebration, so then the father-in-law decides he's going to stick around for a little bit. The Torah doesn't say what Moshe's reaction was to that, although we do know later on he asks Yisro to come along and to stay with them, so it must have been a positive, very positive interaction. And Yisro observes his son-in-law. And we're told the following. I want to discuss, based upon the psukim, what exactly was Moshe doing, what was Yisro's suggestion, and how did that help him? Again, more importantly, what Moshe was doing all day long. So we're told the following. It's the beginning of the second Aliyah. Ba'yibim macharas, ba'yeshev Moshe The Moshe was judging the people. Now, again, just translate the word shofet as judging, so it sounds like he's a judge in court, and people are coming to him. They have disputes, disagreements, perhaps. He's adjudicating cases. By Moshe, the people are standing up before Moshe, min habokir ad from morning until evening. Now, before we talk about that expression, because if you take it on face value, it seems like there's just constant disagreements, debates, issues between various people. And if what he's doing is just judging the people all day long, again, it's hard to imagine, how long are they in the desert? They haven't been there all that long, and all of a sudden there's all this conflict and disagreement, and Moshe has to judge them. Now, it could be that. They're getting used to living with one another in a different environment, and later on we'll see the Torah is going to give the Ten Commandments. The Torah says don't kill and don't steal. So I always tell people, why does God say don't kill and don't steal? The answer is because people kill and people steal. God's tell you not to do that. So Moshe has to adjudicate these types of situations, but it seems to be that there's a lot more than that because the Torah continues and does the following. The father-in-law of Moshe sees everything that Moshe is doing to the people, towards the people. And he doesn't understand, like, he's so busy. What are you doing all day long with these people? Why are you doing this alone? The people are morning to night, they're waiting in line, they're waiting to see you, to hear you, to speak to you. What are you doing? And I think that his question is that if in fact Moshe is judging the people all day long, so it's a bad system. Because what's his suggestion going to be? We're going to read in a little bit. His suggestion is, you need to have assistance. People are going to need to help you out. And he suggests this whole court system with different levels. And only the toughest cases will be brought to him. So that's Yisro's is that's his perception that Moshe is just judging disputes, disagreements, and you don't need the leader, the most important person necessarily to be doing that. So what's Moshe's response? So here's where it gets interesting. Vayomer Moshe lechosno. Moshe responds to his father-in-law, Ki yavo elai ha'am, the people come to me. You're going to think they come to me l'shafteni for judgment. He doesn't say that. People come to me lidrosh Elokim to seek out God, and we'll come back to that in a second. And then he says the following: Kiyelam davar baylai. When they have an issue, they come to me v'shafati, and I judge between one person and another. Vodati, and I tell them at chukei Elokim, the statutes of God. That's Torah Sav in his Torah. Now again, you can read this as he's merely telling them the law, who's right and who's wrong, or perhaps he's doing a little bit more in terms of teaching them. So Vayamar Chosin Moshe Elav. So then here's when Yisrael speaks, responds and says, Lo tova davar shatol said. I mean, you do it, it's not good. Avotivo gamata gamam. What you're going to do is you're going to quickly wear yourself out, right? You're going to give up before you even get started. You and the people themselves. This is too much for you. You can't do it yourself alone. So what's his suggestion? Right, I'll give you a good idea. God will be with you. You serve for God to be some sort of intermediary with between God and the people. And they will bring things that they want you to ask God. You shall guide them, warn them, regarding the statutes and the Torah. And teach them the way that they shall go, and the deeds that they shall perform. And then he says, and now look at the people and select helpers, people who will help you out, Anshe Chayo, Yiri Elokim, Anshe Yimeh. He gives all these different descriptions, the attributes you should look for these people who will assist you, and they will serve as Sarei Elofim, Sarei Meol, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asros, leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of 50s, leaders of tens. The Shaftu, and they will judge the people, V'chol Eisad, all the time. V'yak kol davar shagadol, and anything that's so great, too much for them even to know or to understand. Yavir Elacha, they will bring to you, V'chol davar katan, but anything that's much smaller, Yishpetuhain, they will judge. Okay. So, is this merely, again, disagreements? Civil, court cases? Or is there something else that is happening here? So Rashi says the following. Again, one of the things that Moshe says is that they come to me, Lidrosh Elokim. So what is Lidrosh Elokim? Says Rashi, to seek out God. Rashi says, Ketargamo. As the Targum, as Unkelus defines it, l'mispa upan, they ask for instruction. Vishol tamun mipia gvura, to ask for teaching from the mouth of the Almighty. In other words, it's not just that they ask for me to adjudicate their disputes, but they're asking me to teach them Torah, right? To guide them. That's what Rashi says. The Ramban, vastly and in a much broader sense, greatly expands upon this, what exactly Moshe is doing. And a lot of Mefarshim I saw do this as well, including the Malbim and the Nitziv, and they all disagree on certain points, but in a general sense, they agree with the way the Ramban approaches it. So, and this is what the Ramban says. Okay, he says the following, that what are the people doing? Hishiv Moshe lechosmo. Tzrichim sheyamdu alai zman gadol. Yom kol dvarim rabim. I have to work all day long. Why do I have to work all day long? Because the people are coming to me for lots of different things. Dvarim rabim, right? Many things are coming to me. Yavo ilai am nidrosh lekim. What is this? Is the fascinating suggestion when he says that they're coming to be Dori Shalakim to seek out God? You know what they're coming for me for? Lispalel alacholeim lodiyam ma shiopad lahem. They're coming to me as a Hasidish Rebbe, basically. Before the Ramban lived, before Hasidus began, so the original Hasidish Rebbe was Moshe Rabbeinu. They come to me that I should daven when they're sick. I should daven when they're ill, and that I should tell them, guide them when they lose something. Now, where does he get this from? So Ramban tells you where he gets this from. This, if you look in Tanakh, this is what seeking God is. Look at the prophets. Kamosha Amar. Lefanim b'Yisrael ko'amar ish b'lechtakol li'josh al-kim l'chav v'nelcha ad aro'eh. Happens to be, I just taught this chapter in Navi this past 2 days yesterday, and we're going through a chapter a week in WhatsApp learning. So this past yesterday we did the ninth chapter of Sefer Shmuel. Where what's the story? The story is that Shaul, right? This is now before he's king. His father sends him on a task with a servant to do what? So they're missing donkeys. They can't find their donkeys. They're looking all around. A couple of days, they can't find it until the servant gets the show about to give up. And what does the servant say? No, I got a great idea. You know, we're right nearby where the prophet is. And of course, the prophet is Shmuel. And he can tell us, you know, where what's up with the donkeys. Like the pasuk says, right? In those days, right, the prophet was called a seer, ro'eh. Right, and that person can give us advice. So you see, what's the role of a prophet? It's to help you out. If you're missing something, maybe it'll tell you where to find it, where you can look for it. Right, it'll give you some guidance in some direction. Maybe even has some prophecy to be able to know where the things are, where the things are missing. Right, you can figure those things out. So that's one thing with the people. You know, you can imagine the people run out of Egypt and they cross the sea, and you know, probably they're not as well packed as they planned to be, and maybe they can't remember where they put things, they can't find things. And Moshe would tell them, you know, where your brush is, you know, whatever it is that you're missing. Okay, and then it says that's one type of being Doresh Elokim. Another thing is b'chein b'darashta Hashem me oso lemor ha'chiyam machaliza. Another thing that a prophet does is a prophet can pray to God on your behalf to heal you. And we see that from Elisha and Sefer Malachim in the Book of Kings. That the king of Aram went to the prophet and said, when am I going to be healed of this illness? And maybe one we're more familiar with is from Bereishis, Rivka. Right, when Rivka is pregnant and she doesn't know she's having twins and she's having all the stomach challenges and problems and pain, what does she do? Pasuk says, "Vatelech lidros es Hashem," right? And she goes to the prophet, right, of her time to sort of gain guidance. You know, hopefully maybe she'll be healed and be taken care of. So why are the people coming according to this? They're coming to ask Moshe to daven for them. And to help them out, they're missing things, they can't find things, and he, as a prophet, can help them locate their missing things. Nothing to do with judgment, but they need help, and he can help them out. Va'od, furthermore, what's the next thing Moshe says? Moshe says, Shani Shofinism, I do judge them. They have an issue, a dispute, I judge them. So he is acting as a judge as well. And three, says the Ramban, Ba'od ani melamid osam Torah, I also am teaching them Torah. Shemar, Bodati es chukei Elokim es haTorah si. We just read this. The Moshe said, I teach them Torah, I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moshe is saying, you know, what am I doing all day long? It could be that he wouldn't be busy all day long with disputes, because again, how many disputes were there? Constantly having arguments, disagreements. Although I think I once read about the Israeli Supreme Court. I think like almost like any Israeli can petition the court for whatever they want. So they have like this huge backlog, and like it's all they do is all day dealing with, you know, they deal with government issues, and they deal with, you know, yechidim and individuals. So. It could be maybe Moshe was busy all day long with judging, but that's not what the Ramban just reads the Pesukim. No, he's doing a lot more than just judging the people. He was davening for them, he was giving them guidance, and he was teaching them Torah, teaching them, you know, what God wants from them. And so what's the advice? And now the Ramban continues. So what advice does Yisro give Moshe? So the interesting thing is that he doesn't tell Moshe to stop everything. He doesn't say to give everything over to the to the officials who will now help him out. Rather, says the Ramban. Look at the exact words. You still need to teach them the Torah. You are the only, you're the conduit between the God and the people. You need to continue to teach them. You should caution them exceedingly and teach them the Torah and the commandments. You need to be the one to teach the people these things. Lasirotam, to warn them, lasrososam, b'mitzvos, v'ansham, and to teach them, you know, what's the reward and what's the punishment if you don't keep the Torah. Achareish lo yasehu b'hem asadin. Why is it so important for you, Moshe, to teach them, you know, the reward and punishments? Because you're not going to be judging them anymore. In other words, the judging, you're going to hand over to other people. So they'll handle, you know, the specific disagreements. But you need to warn the people in advance, like, you know, what are the consequences, you know, for doing the wrong thing. Avava mishpata shiramarta, it comes to judging that v'shafati ben ish v'ein re'eyo, that you're doing all the judging, v'sim l'cha shoftim. So that's no good. That you're wasting your time. That's too much. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to judicial disagreements, so that takes, from personal experience, that takes a lot of time. Right, two people come to you and they have ostensibly a simple disagreement, you know. So I don't know, you did some work for me and I don't think I should pay you, or pay you a reduced rate, or we disagree on the terms of the contract, or those can't be finished in 5 minutes. From personal experience, when I've done mediation, you know, often for the vod here, you know, we sit on a base din. Those takes several days and it takes several hours often of hearing the back and forth. And then once you hear the arguments, then you have to do some research, you have to think about it and discuss it. That takes a lot of time. So that, and again, if you have 30 cases on the dock for the day, how are you going to get to it? And that's what you're still saying. It makes no sense. You don't have to do that. You can get people to help you out in those things. But teaching them Torah and giving them guidance and davening for them and helping you serving as the prophet, that only you can do. And only Moshe. You know, there's a whole debate, right? The way this whole everything is introduced with this whole discussion between Yisro and Moshe is Vahim and Macharas was on the next day. So before you have a big debate, what does it mean the next day? And the larger question is, when did Yisro show up in the desert? So there's a big debate. Some say that it goes according to chronological order in the Torah. He came after the splitting of the sea, after the war with Amalek, but before the giving of the Torah, that's when he shows up. But others suggest he actually showed up well after the giving of the Torah. It's mentioned here, but it's not in order. Macharas means Macharas Yom HaKippurim, that after Yom Kippur, after the giving of the Torah, after Chet HaEgel, of course, which was 40 days later, after the first Yom Kippur, when the Jews were finally forgiven for their sins, that's when Yisro shows up in the desert. At this point, the Torah has already been given, and Moshe now has to teach it, has to continue to teach the Torah to the people, give them guidance and give them the direction. Again, I mentioned that, you know, the Nativ picks up on this Ramban. He doesn't necessarily think maybe Moshe was praying for the people, but he basically agrees with the Ramban, and the Malbim myself also suggests that there were these three things that Moshe was doing. I'll just read to you what the verse says, and I'll sort of wrap up and give you my own additional thought about all this. The verse says the following. He says something very interesting. He says, from these and the following verses, we can get some idea of the camp life of our forefathers during the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Like, what were they doing all day in the desert? So they don't tell a lot about what was happening all day long. But from these few psukim, you sort of get a sense of what was happening, right? These are the psukim that actually tell us what was happening day in and day out in the desert. So were they working for their food, says the first? No, they weren't working for their food. Why not? Because that we know from last week's parsha, it came from heaven. The one that came from heaven. So they weren't working in the fields all day, and the water was the way, right, was this flowing well, right, from Miriam. So that wasn't what they were doing all day. We must come to the conclusion, says Refersh, that by far the greater part of their daily lives was entirely free from those activities which normally would have taken up most of their time, How then do they occupy their time? Right? Like most of us, we're all day busy trying to, you know, earn a living so we can put food on the table. But they didn't have to deal with that. So what were they doing? So you know what he says? First, you know what they were doing? They came to Moshe. Or we should now be informed to the men who he appointed to work on his behalf. And he says, it comprises accordingly the relationship which every phase of our life and actions must have, which we must keep towards God, if God is to be our God. In other words, they were coming to understand what God wants from them. And let's read one or two more lines. He says, seeking teaching and help from God, right, is what it means to be Dorish Elohim, seeking God. The blessed, happy truth is thereby declared with the help and teaching that we seek from God. We find God himself. We get God himself. For the small, even the smallest matters of our life, we introduce God in the most material matters of our life. And our whole existence becomes godly. In other words, this is how I want to suggest what's happening here. The Jews have just left Egypt. Right? The Jews have just left Mitzrayim. And the question is, like, now what? Right? I once gave a class many years ago called Redemption, Now What? Okay, so you're free. But now what are you going to do? Right? What's... And, you know, the Jewish people for the last 200 years, they're slaves in Egypt. And we know we have lots of discussions, you know, to what extent were they connected to God, not connected to God? They cry out, not cry out? Were they levels of impurity, purity? You know, they clearly did not know a lot that you would think. And all of a sudden now they're free. So what do you think most people wanted to do once they were free? So you would think like most people just want to like get on with their life, right? You know, go to America and, you know, and try to, you know, start up with some business and maybe you make yourself rich. Like what was their plans? What were they, you know, what were they expected, you know, expecting to do? And the truth of the matter is, where were they going? Right? That's the big question. Where were they going? Did they even know where they were going? Right? It's unclear. And that, in fact, you know, some of them first explained that was one of Paro's issues. You know, Moshe says, you know, let my people go. Well, where are you going? Right? Where you going to the land of Canaan? You're not going to the land of Canaan. The people living there already. Right? It's too dangerous. That's last week's parsha. They didn't go Derech Eretz Plishtim because it was dangerous to go the way of the Plishtim. You're going to go into the desert? What are you going to do in the desert? You're going to die in the desert. Right? You can't live in the desert. There's no food. There's no water there. So where are you going? Right? Where do you? What's going to be from you? So the Jewish people are probably thinking the same thing. So all of a sudden they're taken out of Egypt. And all of a sudden they're thrust into this desert, and God is taking care of them. So now all of a sudden God, Hashem, needs to teach them about having a relationship with him and about what's their divine mission now, right? And what's their ultimate purpose, right? What's so unique and special about them? And that's you know, what's this Torah all about? What's expected of you? And so that's Moshe's role at this point. Moshe's role is to teach them those things. It's to teach them the Torah sign, right? The Torah and Chukah and Kugasai and the statutes and ordinances. That's his major role. And he can't be bothered by, again, people have other people deal with those disagreements. If you can't figure out, okay, then call me. But Moshe has much more global, larger things to deal with. He has to teach them and to guide them, direct them. And in addition to that, I like to suggest using what the Ramban said at first, you know what else he needs to do? He has to comfort them, right? These are people, you know, today we talk about, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. These people experienced 210 years of oppression and affliction and genocide, and they almost died at that just a few moments ago at the sea. And he needs to pray for them. Right, he needs to talk to them. He needs to help. You know, they're confused. They're at a loss. They need to be found, right? And they need someone who can be a listening ear, and can kind of hold their hands and comfort them and reassure them. That's his primary role at this point. And I'll just add, I remember I read an article, an essay from Rabbi Soloveitchik, where he talked about what was the role of the Shofet, right? In the book of Shoftim, you know, we call, you know, Shimshon and Devorah, right? And Yiftach, all these, the book of Shoftim, the period between Yoshua and then Shmuel, the beginning of the Kings. So, again, the word Shofet in this parsha sometimes is used as a judge. But the Soloveitchik suggestion, and I'm not sure if he got it from here, but definitely this would support his theory, that a Shofet often in Tanakh is a lot more than just person judging a dispute. But a judge, and again, in the sense of the word being used in Tanakh, is a leader, is someone guiding and giving guidance to the people. That's how he described, I think I read this in the context of Devorah. What was the role of Devorah? That people would come to Devorah for direction. That you know they go where to they would whatever their concerns were, issues were, that they went to her to fit, and she would comfort them and she would give them advice and help direct them. And that seems to be that this Shofet of Moshe. What's Moshe? He's just, you know, it's when he says I'm judging the people, he's not just saying I'm judging, you know, disagreements. Again, that's a part of it, and that's what Yisrael's advice is. To help out in that regard, but it's not like, you know, after giving this advice, you know, you get the sense, you know, he also gives Moshe this advice, and now what can Moshe do most of the day? He can be in his tent, he can read a book and relax, right? Because he's got all these people helping him out. So the answer is no. People helping out were just helping him out in terms of, you know, adjudicating disagreements, but in terms of teaching the Torah, Moshe was the one on Har Sinai. He's the one who had to teach the Torah. So he had to tell him, what does it mean to be a Jew? What are we, you know, what does God expect from us? What's it all about? What's our purpose as a Jewish people? And in addition to that, he had to be there to help the people, to assist the people, to daven for the people, to hold their hands. And in many ways, I think it was Chaim Soloveitchik said, like, you know, what's the role of the rabbi? The role of the rabbi is, you know, to comfort the bereaved and to give you know, acts of kindness towards those in need. Like that's the role of the leader. The role of the leader is to be there for the people. That's the most important role of a Jewish leader, is to help guide and to help and to assist and to uplift the people. And that's what Moshe was doing. And I think very beautifully refers to suggesting this is what was happening during the 40 years in the desert. But they weren't working for a living. So what were they doing? They weren't playing video games. Right, so what were they doing instead? They were trying to learn who are we? Right? What is God? You know, why did this God take us out of bondage? What are we doing here in this desert? Where are we going? What's this promised land all about? What's this special covenant that God has made with us? Moshe had to teach that, and on many levels, you know, we're still trying to figure it out as a Jewish people. Right, we've had ups and downs throughout our history where we've embraced this message, we've turned away from this message, so we're still trying to figure it out. And as we're still trying to figure out, we still have a lot of struggles, personal struggles that we go through, and we sort of balance, you know, those things, balancing taking care of our personal issues that we have in this, you know, sickness, and when there's great difficulty and struggle, and at the same time we still try to not forget the larger picture of our mission and our purpose, and it's the role of our leaders, and in this situation, of course, it was Moshe Rabbeinu to do both be the one to comfort and to give guidance, but also the one to teach and to help us focus on our ultimate mission, and therefore, you know, this interaction that the Torah presents between Moshe and Yisrael. Which again, whether or not it occurred before the giving of the Torah, whether or not it occurred after the giving of the Torah, it's really setting the tone for us as a people. It's about how we take care of one another, and it's also about, again, this larger picture of our mission as a people and what it is that God wants from us, and how do we in turn fulfill, you know, those directives from Hashem. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.